You know, I was reminded when I was putting this series together of Freedom from Within, and just really hooking in with the Lord about several really powerful aspects of our identity in Christ and so forth. I was reminded of, how many of you remember Bob Uecker, Mr. Baseball? He was absolutely hilarious. And I remember his, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, not for his baseball playing, but for his announcing. He was a commentator, and he got inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And in his speech, he said this. He said, you know, when I was young, I didn't really have much ability as a kid. He said, my dad wanted me to have everything else the other kids had. He said, but I think the first thing my father ever bought me was a football. And he said, I was very young. He didn't know a lot about it. I didn't know a lot about it. But he came from the old country. And he said, you know, we tried to pass it and throw it and kick it and everything, and we couldn't do it. And it was very discouraging for him and for me. And we got to a place where we just almost quit. We just wanted to just forget about it. And he said, and then we had a nice enough neighbor who came over and put some air in the ball. And what a difference it made. You know, when I heard that, I mean, when you filter things through the Word and through a renewed mind, it's like there's hints all over the place. And there's too many Christians, believers, who are Spirit-filled, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and just believers, who are almost playing, living their Christian life like football teams playing with a ball that has no air in it. There's one amen. Thank you, Dave. But it's true, isn't it? Yes. But when you have a revelation of righteousness, we talked about what is freedom the first time. Last week we talked about the revelation of righteousness. This is the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, and then for all who believe, the Jew first, then the Gentile as well. He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And without that revelation of righteousness, you might as well be playing football with a ball that has no air in it. Doesn't make any sense. It's hard to move it downfield. You know, just think of the kickoff, man. You'd hurt your foot.
Don't forget about Tom Brady.
Yeah, Deflategate. Yeah, thank you, Brian. That was a good reminder right there. Let me share some thoughts with you before we get into this. Last week we talked about righteousness, the revelation of righteousness. Oh, this cracks me up. Bob Uecker. Righteousness, you know, people are, don't wait to feel like you're righteous. Don't wait to feel like you're blessed. Don't wait to feel like you're healed. Don't wait to feel like you're prosperous. If you wait for the feeling, you're going to be waiting your whole lifetime, and you'll miss it. We've been given something called faith. We have been given the gift of righteousness. Amen. Don't wait to feel righteous. You'll be waiting a very long time. You receive righteousness by faith. Say that. I receive the gift of righteousness by my faith. Therefore, I am now the righteousness of God in Christ. People say, are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding. The Bible says that. You have been given so much more than just the forgiveness of sins. You have been made righteous with God's very own righteousness. Doesn't matter in your situation, doesn't matter. It matters what he says. You know, when you receive the Lord and you took him, I mean, you take him as your Savior and you confess him as your Lord, something big happens. I mean, something major big happens. Something eternally big happens. Amen. And you know what? You can go through life and fall on your nose, but it says the righteous man gets up, he falls seven times, he still gets up. Amen. Because there's something inside of you that keeps compelling you, that keeps motivating you, that keeps saying, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby, come on, baby. Just stand up. Just stand up. Shake it off and just stand up and go. And you say, well, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is what I say, and you can do all things through me, which strengthens you. So keep on keeping on. You know that old saying in the 60s? Keep on keeping on. Walk this way. Well, walk that way. Walk the way the Bible says you can walk. You know, you come and limping with the old hymns. I mean, we're so foot sore. No, I'm not. I got the shoes of the gospel of peace. Man, I go, the peace is the wholeness of shalom, the wholeness of God. I'm not foot sore. Maybe after golf, but, you know, you get better. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the righteousness of God in Christ. Your spirit man was completely recreated. Just, in fact, your old man, dead, gone. He's gone. You are not just patched up like a, you know, it says, Jesus said they don't take a new patch and put it on an old garment. You know, you're not a patched up improvement of yourself. No, you are gone. That man died the moment and a new person has come in, and he is recreated in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Say this, I was created in righteousness and true holiness. I am accepted with God. I have a foothold. And that foothold gives me answers to prayer. My words will not fall to the ground. I speak his word, and his word works for me. Praise God. That's the way you got to go to God. That's the way you got to go into life, as if everything he said about you is true. As if. Yeah, as if. If there's any reality that's going to be there when the fire hits this universe at the end, the only thing that'll be left is the word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And if you stand on his word, guess who's going to be standing when it's all said and done? When the fire hits it, there you are. Yes, sir. You know, the safest place to be in all this world is right smack dab in the center of the word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You were made the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for he made him to be sin for us. A lot of people have trouble with that. No, he was made a sin offering. That's not what it says. It says he was made sin for us. You know, I've looked up the Greek on this. I've looked up all of the commentaries on, you know what it says? It says he was made sin for us. You know, instead of arguing with the word of God, just take it for face value. Don't wrestle with the scriptures. For he made him sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus never committed sin. He, not even once, did he even have a thought of sin. He was absolutely, totally pure. He knew no sin. Yet, when he was on the cross, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. He didn't know sin. He wasn't, sin was an alien thing to him. He was one with the Father. And you know, even then, you know, somebody said, could Jesus really have been tempted? I mean, he was God. Well, if he couldn't be tempted, then he wouldn't have been like us, and he would have not been able to be our substitute.
That's right.
In all points, he had to be like us.
Yes.
He had to have the ability to fail. Why? Because he was the last Adam. The first Adam blew it royally.
Yeah.
We are evidence of that.
Yes,
we just are. But God, okay? Why was he made sin? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, just as true, just as real as Jesus was made sin for us. We have been made the righteousness of God in him. It's a gift. It's not because you're such a goody-goody. It's not because you deserve it. I don't deserve it, and I couldn't earn it. Yet you gave yourself to me. He died not for you, he died as you. When he went to the cross as the last Adam, he went there as if he was the first Adam. There's a revelation in that. There's a revelation in that. The one who betrayed you was Adam. I mean, that was treason. I mean, he sold out the entire human race, yet in his loins, yet unborn. We were sold out into sin because of Adam. We just were. I could go into all of the biblical things of that, but look, he reproduced after his own kind, and Adam became a sinner with a sin nature. He was the first born-again man who ever was. He was born from life unto death. And thank God, the last Adam brought life so we can be born from that death into his life. Not just a life, his life, eternal life, the life and nature of God. Eternal life dwells inside of you. His life and nature. It's called Zoe, and it's translated eternal life, life eternal, everlasting life. It's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting, have Zoe, the life and nature of God himself. This is what ticked the Pharisees off so much when he said these things, because they thought, that is such blasphemy. And to somebody who's condemned under the law, yeah, it would seem like that. But Jesus brought something new. He fulfilled the law. You can struggle with the law if you want to. I mean, it's the more you try to do it, the more it becomes impossible to do. It's because of our nature, not because of the law. The law was good and pure and everything. It's because of our fallen nature that we weren't able to do it, and so all it does is condemn us. Are we getting anywhere with this? I'm sorry. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And before we do that, let's go into our weekly confession, Stephen. Referring to the Bible, right? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. That word power is dunamis. It is supernatural. Self-energizing, self-explosive spiritual power. The gospel is the power of God, and it contains the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in that message.
Yes.
You know, Billy Graham used to notice this. As soon as he, in his sermon, mentioned that Jesus rose from the dead, all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere of those stadiums changed. There's power in the gospel. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead in the event of the resurrection is resident inside of the gospel of Christ. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not letting go of it. It is my weapon against Satan and all of his minions. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who what? Believe. Does he ask you to be perfect? Does he ask you to do the right thing all the time? Does he ask you not to stub your toe or anything? Don't come to him crying? No. He says, believe it. You know, you can boil all this down to one. Believe. They shall not perish, but have. When do you have eternal life? When you believe. Right, you don't. You know, religion will tell you, wait till you. And I've heard this at funerals of people, and the preacher will say, Lord, and lead him on to eternal life. Well, it's too late. If you don't have eternal life here, you don't have it. You say, well, I don't feel like I have eternal. It doesn't matter how you feel. That has nothing to do with it. What it matters is what God says. And when you do what he says, guess what happens? What he said will happen, will happen. He said, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life, period. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just receive it. Don't argue with it. Don't wrestle it. You know why that is? It's because righteousness is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Righteousness is a revelation of who you are in Christ. It's a revelation. Do you know healing? You know, when you have a revelation of righteousness, healing will always, it'll come. And a lot of Christians will not get healed until they get a revelation of righteousness. It's not that they've done things wrong or the devil, and you can go on and on and on in that narrative and you will get nowhere. But if you stop it and say, wait a second, the Bible says I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and you start meditating on scriptures and dwelling on scriptures that tell you who you are, that's your mirror. This is your mirror right here. This is the mirror of who you are, of your spirit man on the inside of you. This is your mirror right here. Not what you think about yourself, not what your neighbor says about you, what other people, what your past, what your failures are, or anything else. That has nothing to do with who you are forever. This is your mirror. Just get that junk out of your head. This is your mirror. God tells you who you are. And if you let this world define you, you're going to walk in fear. You're going to be afraid of death. And that is the granddaddy of all fears. But you've been delivered from the fear of death because Jesus rose from the dead. He's shown this whole world that there's more to this life, more than this world. Amen. He's already proved it. The resurrection answers all of the questions. It leaves nothing to chance. You know, somebody says, good luck. You know where the word luck comes from? How do you know what etymology is? Etymology is the study of word origins. You can trace the word luck, all the way back to Lucifer. Don't use the word luck. Well, luckily, what? That's what Las Vegas and all these gambling is built on, the law of chance, luck. And it's all geared against you. So why would you even use the word against that I am so lucky today? No, you're not. You're either blessed or you're cursed, period. Amen. And Jesus, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everything that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. It's so simple. You really need outside help to misunderstand it. Healing is not even a prayer request. You know what healing is? It's your legal right. Get that inside of you. And you know it. You see, this is why the righteous are as bold as a lion. The fearful run when nobody's chasing them. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. That doesn't mean you're cocky or arrogant. It means you're confident in the Lord God. You're confident in the promises of God, in his word, that he cannot lie, that his word will not fail. It cannot fail. If it did, he would, because he is the word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Yes. And the Word was made flesh. This is the whole thing. It's having this Word become flesh in your life. We're talking about the new creation. You know, today, talking about identification with the new creation. That's your identification, is that you're a new creation in Christ. Well, how am I going to operate in the world? The way Jesus did, the way the Apostle Paul did, the way Peter did, the way so many have ever since for the last 2,000 years. We have a new creation walking through the earth, and the world is totally oblivious to it. You guys there? Good. So am I. No, I'm here, but you're there. I want to go and revisit the words of Jesus spoke to Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of that way, that means believers in Christ, whether men or women, he didn't care, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. That means they were either going to deny Christ or get executed. So as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone from heaven around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting to me? Why are you persecuting me? Listen to those words that Jesus spoke. Why are you persecuting me? Where are we? Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Yeah, thank you. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, he could have put it this way. Why are you persecuting all my disciples? Why are you persecuting those who believe on me? Why are you persecuting these people? He didn't say that, did he? What did he say? Why are you persecuting me? You've got to understand something about Jesus. This is something that broke through my head finally. Jesus calls himself us, and he calls us himself. He doesn't know any difference between you and him. He will not recognize that. You know why? Because you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Those people in Damascus, his believers, he was protecting them with a hedge round about them. And that hedge, by the way, that was angels with their swords drawn, and it made like a prickly hedge. Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, the pricker bushes. And he ran right into it, and there was an explosion of light, and he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Me. And Saul was about to get very dead or very saved. Shortest salvation message in the book. Lord! What does it say? That if you shall confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, at this point he had no doubt that he was raised from the dead. Saul got gloriously saved. Thank God for it too. He calls himself us. He is identifying with our weaknesses and our strengths. Look, it says that in Hebrews. It says that he ever intercedes for us, that he knows our weaknesses and he knows the things that we're going through. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Yet, he's without sin. This is why he calls himself us, because he wants to get that sin consciousness out of us and get that righteousness conscious in us. Amen. And he wants us to be raised up above that and know and walk like he has called us to walk. Amen. And be able to do the things that he did and greater things than those.
Amen.
He said that in John chapter 12, verse 14. It's an amazing, amazing statement. And he said it at the Last Supper, which was the last Passover. And it was morphed over into our communion. And he said, if you believe in me, the things that I do shall he do also, the believer, and greater things shall he do because I go to the Father. We have an advocacy with the Father in the person of Jesus Christ. We have an intercessor in the person of Jesus Christ. We have a mediator of all of the benefits and promises of the New Testament. And one of those statements of fact is that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And another one is, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Well, actually, let's go back a little further than that, because I'm talking about looking at yourself the way he does. So let's go back to verse 14. Oh, way ahead of me here. Thank you, Stephen. For the love of Christ constrains us. You got to let the love dictate things to you. You got to let the love of God. This is a covenant of love. It's a testament of love. This is his love wrapped up in something that was so important to him that no matter how he felt about us, he is bound to love us. And that love constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which should live did not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Get this, you know, I feel like I'm dictating, but I don't really want to dictate, I want to invite. But we need to really appropriate the type of thinking that we were dead, but now we're alive. Repentance is not just unplugging from the world. Repentance is plugging into the things of God, the power of God, the life of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the revelation knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's plugging into the things that the Holy Spirit has for us. And the Holy Spirit is the governing part of the Godhead of the church. Jesus is there for our help and everything, but the governor right now, this is a bold statement, but let me say it. Jesus said this, it is expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. He's saying actually that it's better for you that the Holy Spirit be here than me just teach you. Amen. And if you look at that, it's powerful because everything that we get from the Holy Spirit is through revelation knowledge. He teaches us. He guides us into all truth. He is our teacher. He is our comforter. He is everything to us. Amen. Jesus died to put us in a position where the Holy Spirit could live in us.
Praise God. Thank you.
Now, Jesus is a mediator of the covenant that was sealed in his blood. He is the intercessor for the things within that covenant. We cannot be separated. You know, if you go live a life of sin now and everything, you will be constantly, the cross will constantly be there in your head. The drawing power of the cross will be there. It will just be there. And the knowledge of the Father. I want to bring you over to a place in Luke chapter 16. Not yet, though. Let me go through this. Verse 16. Therefore, since he rose again from the dead, which he died for those who were dead, therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more. We don't know Jesus after the flesh anymore. We know him as a risen spirit, an eternal, who has power. He's at the right hand of God. He is. We don't know him that way anymore, the way he walked in the earth. Yeah, he was powerful. They couldn't touch him until he let them touch him. They couldn't do anything to him until he let. He wouldn't let a storm sink their boat. You know, that was something that the devil wanted to do. because they were on their way to Gadara in that boat. And there was a demonized man, and there was a whole sin city over there eating ham sandwiches and pork back ribs and everything. You know, that was a sin city. And he was on his way to get to the key of that, and that demoniac. And the devil threw a storm, a mega storm at him. That's the word mega, a great wind of storm that came at him to try to... And the devil should have known. How in the world can you drown a guy who can walk on the water? You got to have outside help to be that stupid. Okay. Just saying. Oh, I thought you'd love it. I thought you'd enjoy that, Benita. Yeah. So we don't know Jesus that way anymore. He's the risen Christ. And he lives in you. He lives at the right hand of the Father. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere and everywhere. And the Holy Spirit, that agency of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. He is a person, he's an agency, he's everything. He's an equipper. If you're down, he's a comforter and an encourager. If you're deceived, he's the Spirit of truth. He can everything that he is. Amen. He wants you to be. Don't you love God right now? You just pick up and go skating off somewhere and with God. So it says this, so we know no man after the flesh. I don't know you after your flesh or what you did or what you have done or your failures. I don't know you that way. You know how I know you? I know you by what the mirror says about you, that you are a new creation in Christ, that you have a future that's worth living for, that you have promises worth getting and taking them. You have something going for you. You have something inside of you that is like it's a self-energizing generator. It's called the dunamis of God. It's the power of God that's in you. And you cannot fail to the point where you fail God. I had to write a letter to a guy one time, and I told him that, because he made a mess of things. I mean, just a mess. And you know that verse that says that God is not ashamed to call you his God, his Father? And I said, you know, you cannot get to the place where God is ever ashamed of you. I'm just going to leave that there for somebody. He will never be ashamed of you. In fact, your future will be the evidence of the truth that is in that word of God concerning you. Amen. Verse 17. Therefore, what's the therefore? Because we don't look at ourselves after the flesh. We don't know anybody. We don't even know Christ after how he was. We know him how he is. We know how we are. We know what his word says about us. We know what we can do, what we have, where we are. And here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. That word is a word, new species that has never existed before. You're brand new. He has created a third race. And there are only two races in this world, by the way. You're either born again or you're not. As far as God's concerned, that's the way he looks at it. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Don't let the devil confuse you. Don't let him confuse you about your life, your past, or anything. Don't let him be your judge. Jesus said, I don't even judge any man. He was in Christ, reconciling the world to him, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has given us to the word of reconciliation. That's our job. It's too bad that the preachers have all preached, they've majored on preaching sin. They majored on preaching alienation to God. You're so wicked. And he said, you're such a sinner. They've got that down really good. No, you're not. You're not a sinner. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And Jesus is standing there, right there, with you. Amen. And if anybody wants to argue with that, take it up with him. I'm free. I've been freed from within. Now I want to go to Luke chapter 16. How many of you remember the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? There's revelation in these parables. I want to go through it real quick. We've got 4 minutes. Verse 19, there was a certain rich man, this could be any rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, I had a little hurt here the other day, and Buddy came up and started licking it. So attentive. You saw me holding Buddy. He was sleeping in my lap. And it came to pass that the beggar died. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and you're tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is set a great gulf fixed. I'm kind of reading two translations here. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from you. Then he said, I pray you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. All of a sudden, he's concerned about his brothers. Abraham, verse 29, said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. In other words, they have the word of God. And he said, no, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, they'd repent. And he said, if they're not going to hear the word of God, if they're not going to hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want you to see something here. Your spirit man looks like you do. Look at this. The rich in verse 23. It says, in hell he lifted up his eyes in torment, his eyes. The rich man was in hell, he still had eyes. Being in torment, seeing Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out, saying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his... Lazarus had a finger. Right? And cool my tongue. They had tongues. They were talking. They had ears. They could hear each other. You'd think these guys are still in their body. But they weren't. They were buried. Your spirit man on the inside of you has fingers, arms, legs. It's a person. You are a spirit. Your spirit has a head. It has a neck. It has a... Did you know that God is a person? God has... He is a triune God. That means he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a triune being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. You're made like him. And your spirit has arms and legs and everything. And he said, I'll walk in them. I will live in them and have my being in them. When they walk, I walk. He walks in you. How does that happen? Because he is a spirit, just like we are. And we are just like him. Jesus did a perfect, full, complete, total work when he rose from the dead. He defeated the devil. He defeated sin, death, hell, the grave, everything. He defeated it all. And he gave us the victory, and that victory is eternal life, and that victory is righteousness, and that victory is the love of God. And that victory, it comes in covenant form that cannot be broken, cannot be annulled. It is the truth.
Amen.
You've got to understand something. God doesn't see you the way you do, the way you see you. I mean, you look at all the things wrong with you in the light of God's word and everything. Yeah, I mean, there's you have a flesh. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with your flesh. But there's only one thing he said with that, crucify it. That's not easy. Sometimes you need help. Jesus needed help getting crucified too. You need your brothers and sisters. You need the body of Christ coming together. You need prayer. You need the word. You need ministry. But God is a healer. He's a restorer. He's a redeemer. He's a reconciler. He always moved in the form of redemption. He always moved in the way of mercy. He always moved in the way of grace. He never once condemned. Oh, he got angry with the Pharisees because they knew better. They had the word of God. But he was very polite with them too, because he understood that they're lost. But we're not lost anymore. And we have help from the inside, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. They are always successful. Amen. The new creation is a revelation. Your healing is a revelation. Righteousness is not a feeling. It's not anything like, it is a revelation of who you are. It's a matter of looking in the mirror and retaining that knowledge. This is where the whole New Testament comes alive, and it is exciting, and it is powerful, and it is a life that so many people died for just to get you this word. And they were glad to do it because it was pleasing to God to get you the word. You know, I heard this the other day. Somebody said it. We could have been born in any generation. We could have been born back in any culture, any kingdom in the past, whatever. God reserved us for this generation right now. He had something in mind for us in the now, right now. And it's a very special purpose and a very special anointing that he has for each one of us. That's why he says, serve God when you're young. I know what I'm talking about. Because when you have strength, when you're young, you have a lot of things working for you. Serve God while you're young. That doesn't mean don't serve him when you get old. No, it just becomes easier to be old. Because he said, my burden is light. Amen. It's so light it will lift you up. But I could go on and on and on, but you guys, eyes are glazing over. There's just so much truth that you can take at one time, I guess. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it will not return to your void. It will accomplish that which you sent it to do. And it will accomplish those things in us. I thank you, Lord, for the beauty and the power and the life of your wonderful word. Lord, let it hit the target this week. Remind us of those things, Holy Spirit, that we need to know in every circumstance, every situation we're in. Help us hear your voice and make the right decisions. We ask, Father, for the word of God to be multiplied in us, that it truly become a present help in time of need and steer us and guide us where we need to be throughout this entire week. We love you, Father. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.